Our scripture reading this morning is from the fifth chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. We know this as the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew saw Jesus as the new Moses, and just as Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from God, so Jesus goes up on the mount to preach the new commandments. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons or children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Are you blessed? Have you ever been blessed in a way that astounds you? What kind of blessings have you received? You know, when you ask people, have you been blessed? What kind of blessings have you received? Almost always they're positive things. I've been blessed with good health. I've been blessed with a wonderful family. I've been blessed with a great job. I've been blessed with this. I've been blessed with that. Always good things. God gives us good things, those blessings. And yet we come across this passage in the Beatitudes where it says that we are blessed. We are happy when we are poor. We are blessed. We are happy when we are mourning. And so we struggle with these Beatitudes a little bit. But let me share with you a little different direction that we can take in understanding the Beatitudes. First, we have to understand what it means, what blessed means in this passage. And blessed means not necessarily receiving good things, but rather blessed means being in God's company, in God's kingdom, being in relationship with God, all right? The other thing to understand about this passage is that when Jesus sits down to preach the Beatitudes, he's not preaching to the world. He's not preaching to all of the people. He is sharing this message with the disciples, all right? He's not telling them how to be saved, but rather he is telling the saved how to be. You could call these the be attitudes, the attitudes that we have to have in order to be a Christian. In fact, I can see that these eight Beatitudes are really a roadmap to the kingdom of God. A roadmap to the kingdom of God. And Jesus begins by sharing with the disciples, and he said, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit." Poor in spirit has nothing to do with monetary wealth. Being poor in spirit means recognizing who we are in relationship to God, realizing who we are in relationship to Christ, seeing ourselves and seeing the perfection of Jesus and realizing we are nowhere near that. We are poor. We are bereft. We have nothing of our own to offer God. We are nothing. We have a poverty. We are bereft. That's the first step, is acknowledging where we are in that relationship with God. And then we move into, blessed are those who mourn, who grieve for their sin that has separated us from God, that has put us in that position. Blessed are those who grieve their sins, who grieve that what they have done has separated us from God in Christ. When we see what Christ has done on the cross, dying for our sins, we have to grieve for what we've done. And yet Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, who grieve for their sins, because you will be comforted. How? forgiven. God forgives those who confess their sins and come before Him. Those who mourn their sins will be comforted by forgiveness. Those sins are washed away. They are struck down. Then Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Meek meaning gentle, humble. Blessed are those who are now in that state where they are perfectly humble before God. They have nothing else to offer. Jesus told a little parable of the Pharisee and the publican. He said there were two men who went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and a publican, a tax collector. And the Pharisee began by saying, I thank you, God, that I am not like those who are robbers and lawbreakers and adulterers or like that tax collector over there. I tithe twice a week. And I fast twice a week. And I tithe all that I have. And I have a lot. This is me. All right? Tax collector can't even lift his eyes up to heaven, but rather he beats his breast and says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, which one of these was justified before God? The second man, the sinner, the tax collector, was justified before God because he acknowledged his sin, he acknowledged his distance from God, he acknowledged in humility that he had nothing to offer God and instead offered himself to God in humility. So the steps that we're taking here, blessed are the poor in spirit, acknowledging our distance from God, our poverty of spirit, of our spiritual life, mourning, grieving the sin that we have done against God, the sin that has ruined our lives, acknowledging that, and mourning that, and then receiving the comforting forgiveness, and then offering ourselves in humility before God. Blessed are the meek. And then now that we have reached that point, now that that person has reached that point where they are completely emptied themselves, they now look at what God offers, and they begin to hunger and thirst for the righteousness that is God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, so many of us seek what the world offers, but the world cannot satisfy that spiritual hunger. The world cannot deliver on the promises it makes. The world pacifies but never satisfies. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, totally satisfied. Then we move into the next one. Blessed are the merciful. All right, so now we have this person who has acknowledged their poverty of spiritual life. They have acknowledged their distance from God. They have humbled themselves before God, given themselves over to God and God's way and God's truth. They now hunger for that spiritual life. They hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. Yeah, and now they are at a point now where they are in relationship with God. And then God says, blessed are the merciful. You know, the temptation is when we get to that point, when we are so filled with righteousness that we would tend to look down on those who are not righteous. We are in the right. We are right. There are those who are wrong. Jesus says, be merciful. Be merciful to those because God has been merciful to you. The Christian realizes that mercy comes from God. And we are not worthy of receiving that mercy, and yet we also have to be merciful to others. It's a very important part of the sequence now. So now we have this person who is now merciful to others, acknowledging the mercy of God that has brought him to this point. So now, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. This person, this Christ follower who has gone through this process has become this merciful, loving, filled, spiritually person. Now they are at that point where they are pure in heart. God, those who are pure in heart, Jesus says, will see God. What a wonderful promise that those who are pure in heart can see God. and become what? Children of God. Children of God. What a wonderful promise, that purity. But that purity does not come to those. We cannot see God if we are phony. We cannot see God if we are not true to ourselves or true to God. Pure of heart means that all of our focus, all of our attention, everything that we are and being is focused on God. And when we are pure in heart, we have come through this process now of laying ourselves before God and receiving that righteousness, we are now able to see God. And being able to see God gives us what? Peace. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. You have now received the peace of God in a way that surpasses all understanding, that peace that is there in our hearts and in our lives. But what do we do with that peace? We are to share that peace. We are to be peacemakers, peace bringers, bringing peace to those around us, bringing peace to the world, spreading that peace of God in other people as well. You see the progression that has gone through this. This is Jesus talking to those who are already Christians, already believers, but saying this is what you need to do to get into the kingdom of God. This is the process. This is the roadmap to the kingdom of God, the peacemakers. But then he says there are those who are going to oppose you. There are those who are not poor in spirit, who do not recognize their poverty, and who will lash out at you. There are those who will never grieve their sin. They revel in their sin. There are those, they do not hunger and thirst for righteousness. They hunger and thirst for the desires of the world. They are not merciful. They are rather judgmental. These are the people who are outside of this process. These are the people who are outside of God's will and God's experience. And he says, blessed are those who, I got to get this right now, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the eighth and final beatitude. The first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, mirrors the last one, number eight. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the roadmap. That's the sequence that brings us into the kingdom of God, into a relationship with God. And then he continues with us the final addition to the beatitude when he says, Blessed are you when men cast insults at you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad because they persecuted also the prophets that came before you. The Beatitudes are taken two ways. Some people look at them and they say, well, this is nonsense. How can I be blessed or happy being poor? How am I going to be blessed or happy if I'm grieving? But if we see these as instructions for those who are already in the process of coming to God's kingdom, if we recognize that this is a process that we all can go through by taking them step by step, acknowledging our separation from God, the poverty of our spiritual life, recognizing that we are nothing before God, turning our lives over to God in humility, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, obtaining that mercy of God, becoming pure in heart, and then finally experiencing that peace that only God can give, and then becoming peace, the shalom to the world. That's what Jesus is talking about here in the Beatitudes. This is the way he starts his Sermon on the Mount. This is the foundational principle of what Jesus calls all of us to do and to be. These are the Beatitudes, the attitudes that we need to have if we want to be with God in God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen.